It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks to Terry in Fifield for requesting more discussions that focus on the northern reaches of Wisconsin.
I was wondering if you could do more stuff on the government in northern part of the state. Seems like you guys kind of hit Wausau and stop, and there's a lot of state left to go.
Indeed there is. Terry, thanks for your comments. And you can join the discussion at any point. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sheldon Johnson is Executive Director of Visions Northwest, that is based in Spooner, serving 10 counties and tribal nations in the region. Sheldon, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. And on the other side of the state, we have Tommy Wortman, Interim Executive Director for Grow North Regional Economic Development, headquartered in Rhinelander, serving 8 counties in the northeastern region. Tommy, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me this morning.
Tommy, let's start with you. St. Louis Fed says in 2021 that all the counties in your respective regions produced about $14 billion in economic output. That's less than 4% of the state total. What are the challenges to expanding your local economies?
You know, I'd like to start with some of the things that we got going great, but I'll start with that too. You know, the thing about it is that what we got going up here is something that you really can't, you can't buy. I mean, we've got people want to live here. They want to move here. We do have some headwinds. I wouldn't say they're unique to our specific region maybe, but, you know, it's the, you know, we got the workforce, housing, childcare, the broadband, the stories that people that kind of keep coming back at us that are headwinds. I know that the Minneapolis Fed, for example, was talking with regards to housing. You know, you have some of the, I don't want to call it NIMBYism, right? Not in my backyard for getting more housing. But, you know, we've got the same sorts of things that are difficult to getting some of those things. We have the desire. We have people wanting to be there. We have efforts in broadband that are really expanding. They're slow, but they're really expanding, and that's going to be a real positive for our region, no doubt. But, you know, what we have is we hear this over and over, so it's anecdotal to one extent, but it's anecdotal enough that, in my opinion, it just keeps coming back. People will want to take a job. They show up. They want to find a house. They can't find a house, or if they do find a house and they've got a child, they can't find childcare. You know, so that affects workforce. You know, that story, I'm sure we've heard that a lot in a lot of places. But those are some of the things that we are seeing. But the desire is there to want to be in our region. And I think I'm sure Sheldon probably sees the same side of that, too.
Sheldon, what are your headwinds? We're hearing about the issues of workforce housing, of childcare, broadband. What do you grapple with?
Yeah, the same thing that Tommy mentioned. I think this is statewide implications as well. All of those in that bucket are certainly concerns that we see and we face. And it's not really new necessarily. We've been struggling with those efforts for many years. It's just that right now they're at the top of the bubble. They're rising over the top of the bucket, I should say. And it's something that we struggle with, and we work with our committees and groups with trying to enforce. Not enforce, but reinforce the need for continued education, technical college, university system to get our employees trained and retrained and make sure that they're ready to take on the next task.
Well, Sheldon, when you look at education and higher education options, UW-Superior is the only four-year campus with the universities of Wisconsin in your regions. What role does education have in creating quality jobs in your area?
Oh, they have a huge role. While UW system, we do have the University of Superior. We've got Northland College. We've got a great technical college system through Northwoods Tech. So it's all hands on deck effort to really kind of engage those systems with the business sector. So really trying to forge those relationships between businesses and the technical college in particular for manufacturing and production to make sure that they are working together to make sure that the kids that are coming out of school and those adults that are looking to be retrained have those resources available to them.
Tommy, what are you doing on your side in terms of education and ensuring that the needs of employers are really with, you know, as much as possible in lockstep with what educators can provide?
Yeah, you know, we work with partners, certainly up in our region, Nicolet College, which is where we're based out of. They've done a wonderful job of trying to discuss with local employers, what do you need? How fast can we turn around that? How can we be, how can Nicolet be? I say we. I also, full disclosure, I technically work additionally, in addition to my responsibilities at Grow North, with Nicolet College, but they really are a great partner, and they do this, you know, they reach out to the community to find out what are the things that are in need. And because we're a smaller technical college, we have a little bit more of an ability to pivot to really serve those needs. In addition to Nicolet College, for those who don't, for example, need credit, we do work with things or entities such as the SBDC, and they will provide for entrepreneurs, which, and I'm not sure, I can't speak to Sheldon's portion over there, but we definitely have a really large entrepreneurial and small business effort. So for those folks who don't need the credit, you know, the SBDC offers classes in our region, and Nicolet College certainly offers some really great credits. They've got a CBE program that they're really well known for, that really transitions well for people who maybe have experience. Then that CBE is competency-based education. Have you heard much about that? Do you know what that is?
No. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. So the idea is that education, in a large portion, they break it down so that there's competency, so mm-hmm. that if you can I don't know, let's say you're a welder, and the example I give a lot is if you were a welder that grew up with a lot of opportunities on Grandpa's farm, and you want to now transition into maybe full-time welding, well, you don't want to have to start at the ground and take every single class, you know, and just go through the stuff that you otherwise know. If you can pass competencies and show that you're competent in certain areas, that's a way that you can maybe go faster and get through your education faster for you know, so you get that certified credit at the end. So that's something that's really been pushed at Nicolet College, and that's been a real positive thing. We've been recognized nationally, I want to even say last month, for that. So that's a way that's maybe slightly different than other places, and CBE is really taking off across the country. It just so happens that in the Northwoods, we actually are a leader in that.
Interesting. Sheldon, is the state doing enough to boost economic growth in your region? How much interaction do you have with the state government?
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of interaction that happens between state government and the region, and at the local level as well. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, WDC, is that key partner of ours. We're a key strategic partner. Business Northwest is with WDC. And that relationship specifically is very, very strong. Their regional director, Dave Wurzba, really is in our footprint in our 10 counties and works closely with all of the economic development partners that we do work with as well across the state. At the legislative level, we have great relationships with our representatives across the region, and that really does help tie us to the legislature and to funding. While funding has always been tight and will continue to be tight as it relates to economic assistance, we do everything we can to try to promote and push for continued prosperity for our residents and manufacturing companies here in the region.
We're talking about Northern Wisconsin's economy with Sheldon Johnson there in the Northwest, Tommy Wortman in the Northeast, regional economic development leaders. You can join in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ernest in Hayward. Ernest, hi.
One of the many government barriers to economic development is the local property tax. Wouldn't replacing the local property tax with land taxes with no loss in public revenue be good for economic development? If you build anything now, you're taxed. This would not happen under a land tax. It implies no loss in public revenue.
Ernest, thank you. Tommy, you go ahead first.
So I would like to clarify that Grow North is actually a private entity. We're not supported by the taxpayer for ourselves. I know different regional economic groups are. Having said that, we operate off of a key strategic partnership with the WEDC, so we do benefit certainly from that portion. So I'm not sure that I can adequately speak to that. I mean, obviously, in different regions, they would benefit, certainly certain counties that have their county economic developments that are supported by the state in that capacity directly, they would be, affected by something like that. Maybe Sheldon can speak better to that.
Yeah, I'll try, Tommy. And as Tommy's group, as ours is as well, we receive some funding from WDC through our Key Strategic Partnership, but we don't receive any other state or federal assistance to support Business Northwest. But inside of that, I think the caller's question was on valuing the land versus mm-hmm. the improvement. And that's a little bit further reach than I have in knowledge of that land base versus the property value base of the building. So I want to take a hard pass on that one.
Okay. And in terms of like TIF districts and using like increment financing to try to build up economic development projects, is that something, Sheldon, that you have looked toward in your communities you work with?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tax increment finance districts programs are huge for our small communities to grow that economic base. Those equalized value improvements that communities can retain for public infrastructure, investment deals with businesses that are looking to expand, they're very critical. And they always have to be looked at as an economic opportunity for communities. They have to do their due diligence, obviously, to make sure that the business is going to succeed and pay off those debts that the TID will incur. But without that, there's not a lot of economic activity and taxable programs that you can actually see that economic development growth.
Tommy, do you want to add anything there?
You know, I would just say is that just like in any place, we get certain regions that while we are clearly rural in the northern communities up there, some of the very, very rural areas, maybe people who have gotten into office don't have a lot of experience. They might have never worked with a TID or a TIF. And so I think that's something that maybe larger cities, certainly larger cities have more experience with. In a place like Rhinelander, there's plenty of experience there. But when you get into some of the very, very rural towns where people just aren't maybe as familiar with it, just like everybody. I heard a message the other day when I called into a place with a small business, and they said, "The whole world is busy. Please be kind to the person who showed up to answer the phone." And that's the truth. And I think especially in rural communities and rural governments, you have people who really want to do well by their people who maybe don't have, they're not professional politicians. They're showing up to say, "I want to make a difference here." And there's so many tools out there like the TIF, like the TID, like all these types of financings. But if you're not familiar with them, you have to accustom yourself to it. And a lot of those positions are their part-time positions in the fact that the people who are running them, they also have a full-time job, right? So there's a lot of great opportunities. And obviously that's why people sometimes to some extent kind of convene towards larger cities in rural areas, which is still a wonderful thing. So certainly a great tool to have, and it's an absolutely necessary tool to have and to know how it works. Yeah.
Economic developers in Northeast and Northwest Wisconsin, Tommy Wortman there, Sheldon Johnson with us. We check in on the economic health of the northern part of our state and hear from you. Call in with a question. Share comments, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks to a listener request, we talk with a pair of economic development leaders about the goals and challenges of northern Wisconsin's economy. Tommy Wortman leads Grow North Regional Economic Development, focused on 8 counties in the northeasternmost region. Sheldon Johnson heads up Visions Northwest, seeking to build up the economy in 10 counties. On the other side of the state, both work with tribal governments in these regions. Call in with a question, share your perspective, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jeff in Superior has a question. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm very concerned about the safety in the forest products forestry industry in northern Wisconsin. And I say this because we're going to be rebuilding the Blatnik Bridge in the next, 10 years or so. And so there's going to be increased traffic of logging trucks on Belknap Street in downtown Superior, because that traffic's going to be, rerouted over Highway 2. There's paper mills in Duluth and in Cloquet. And I'm just wondering, has the forest products industry thought about their impact on, or are we prepared to think about the infrastructure that supports that industry.
Jeff, thank you. And of course, Northern Wisconsin has a long history of forestry and logging. Sheldon, you first.
Yeah, the forestry industry is very significant to the region. While there's been a downturn in some of the manufacturing plants across the state of Wisconsin that use the pulp, it is still a very vibrant and active industry. So we see that issue, and the caller's concern about the traffic impact of the city of Superior with the expected tear down of the Blatnik Bridge and a rebuild, where that bridge is going to be out for 5 years, and there's going to be a lot of traffic that's going to be going through the city of Superior on Belknap. But as it relates to the forest industry in itself, that is one of the largest increasing job sectors, employment sectors in our region, natural resources and mining. We're seeing about a 46% increase projected for employment to the year 2030. While it's a small number representing about 600 employment change, it's important to the region. It's important to the state of Wisconsin and the nation as well. So the caller's question as it relates to the resources for forestry, it's critical to the state.
What I'm hearing you saying, Sheldon, is that extraction industries are not retreating. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing. At least that's what the projections are saying. Again, the projections for the year 2030 is showing about a 500-person gain in employment in the natural resource sector. So it's not retreating necessarily. There's still lots of opportunities and for the wood production in northwest Wisconsin and in Tommy's area as well. Wisconsin has a wealth of timber of many different species that have opportunities for export and for use in the United States.
Tommy, what do you see in wood production in your side of the state in the Northeast?
I would hark back to the forestry convention that was actually held in Florence back in April. I remember listening, and this was a really big thing that they brought up there, was we've got this you get a lot of infrastructure that's roads, right? There's a lot of geographic area that covers, and you've got bigger trucks, and you've got roads that just haven't had I'm going to say the upkeep that is necessary, and those typically are, I suspect, covered by the tax base. And if you've got people who have either left the region, that's key critical infrastructure, and that needs to be taken care of. That's above my pay grade as to how they decide to do that, but it's certainly a super important portion of our economy. And obviously, in the last few years, when we've seen the price of materials go up and down, I know there were some, and this is not a political statement, there were some concerns, obviously, about the foreign influence on the price of wood in some of those cases. But certainly a really important thing to consider to make sure that we have the infrastructure, because what you don't want to have is a whole bunch of material that you can ship that's been ready to be cut, and then suddenly you can't do it because you don't have the roads that are taken care of enough to get it to the market.
Talking about Northern Wisconsin's economic challenges and opportunities, Tommy Wortman, Sheldon Johnson, Regional Economic Development Leaders. You can join in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Tommy, turning to broadband, your organization is prioritizing expanded broadband access. So what are you doing to do this, and what is the situation with high-speed internet?
Well, high-speed internet is on its way.
That was a big exhale.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I think we can feel the emotions in that.
Well, the thing is it's a key infrastructure. We need it. A lot of our local governments in our region really have their plans in place, and we have been for a couple of years now really, really working to, we had the speed tests. We continue to have the speed tests. There's obviously broadband, the BEAD funding that is, right now they're in the planning stages of that. I know Vilas County, for example, they've got $70 million in initiatives and 13,000 homes and businesses that they're going to be lighting up to get this high-speed internet. We've obviously got multimodal different options. And I know Oneida County specifically, too. They've been working very, very hard to get this stuff moving. It's just somewhat the devil's in the details, right? I mean, you can say, let's get it done, and we will, and we are getting it done. It's just the actual, the getting it done. And what does that mean? Well, when you looked at where people were moving during the pandemic, they were moving to places like northern Wisconsin. And in fact, you continue to see growth in the value of housing. People want to be there, but they need certain critical infrastructure for, you know, for example, the internet. You cannot work remote if you don't have consistently good internet. It's one thing to have good internet. It's another thing to have consistently good internet. And so that is definitely a, you know, it's just something that we are absolutely working on, and every community is working on it. It's just not going to happen with the switch of a light.
Okay. And Sheldon,
broadband capacity.
Right. Sheldon, in our last minute together, what is the situation in your side of the state with that critical piece of infrastructure?
Yeah, there are definitely significant gaps in the infrastructure for broadband within the region, and we're working closely with our communities to do that. So Visions Northwest is a recipient of some of the BEAD dollars, the Broadband Equity Access and Deployment Funds, from the PSC. So we're working with our counties, nine of our counties in the Bad River Tribe, working with them to look at the planning efforts that are necessary to expand the broadband reach that the providers are making currently. And we've got a great relationship with the providers in the region, and we're just working together to make those next steps to make access available to all.
And that takes time.
It certainly does.
It takes time. Yes. Okay. Well, Sheldon and Tommy, thank you both for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on, and really appreciate having the chance to have the rural communities give a voice to what's going on up in our areas.
Tommy Wortman, Interim Executive Director for Grow North Regional Economic Development, that is based in Rhinelander, serving eight counties. And Sheldon Johnson is Executive Director of Visions Northwest, based in Spooner, serving 10 counties. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.